David, now let's get into Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who invented Facebook. And he's got some partners now, too, doesn't he?
Well, he's got a lot of partners in the sense that he's got 1,500 employees and a lot of big investors. He still has the biggest chunk of the company, but he's an amazingly interesting person. He really is. So, like I said, it's kind of a biography of him. And here he is, 26 years old, with 500 million customers, a company that'll probably approach $1.5 billion in total revenue this year. As I said, at least 1,500 employees. And he's kind of really enjoying it. That's the weird thing about him. I mean, he's not like freaked out by all the responsibility that's on his shoulders, but he's not particularly impressed with himself for being worth, you know, ostensibly $7+ billion, as we said earlier. He's basically just trying to make this thing grow more. He's got this idea about what he can do for the world with Facebook and how big he thinks it can get. And this, it's almost like a game, you could say, with him, that he's just trying to take it as fast and as big as it can get, and he's not going to rest until he thinks he's you know, taken it to the furthest extent.
Who did he partner up with initially? Some of his college buddies?
There's a lot of controversy about some aspects of what happened at the beginning, and your listeners and all of us are going to be hearing a lot more about Mark Zuckerberg in coming weeks, because a major, major Hollywood movie is about to come out on October 1st called The Social Network, which is about Facebook's first year, and it presents a very dark view of what happened. I mean, Zuckerberg's initial partner was Eduardo Saverin, who was another student at Harvard who was a year ahead of him. Eduardo was sort of partnered in the sense that he was like the business guy that Mark recruited to help him, you know, Mark being the computer guy. Mm-hmm. Eduardo invested some money, but they fell out fairly quickly because Eduardo wasn't really willing to devote the kind of time to it that Mark and his other partners were. He also recruited his roommates, Chris Hughes, who was his literal roommate, the guy he shared a small bedroom with at Harvard, who became the head of public relations for Facebook, and then Dustin Moskovitz, who was in the next room over as part of the suite they shared, and he became sort of the chief technology officer and the general problem solver for Facebook. And then they recruited a very key person named Sean Parker, who had been a co-founder of Napster. And these stories are amazing, the way that Parker got involved and had this incredible vision for what Facebook could be before he even really knew what it was. He actually figured out that a system like Facebook would likely come into existence and started looking for it. And then when he saw that Facebook had emerged at Harvard, he sent an email to Zuckerberg when Facebook was only like a month and a half old and said, "I want to work with you guys." And later he did. And became very critical to Facebook's early success. But there's some other people at Harvard who claimed that Zuckerberg stole ideas from them. As a result, they were working on other social networks or systems of various sorts that Mark either was a user of or was working with them to develop, and they feel he stole ideas from them. And there have been a number of lawsuits that the company has generally settled without agreeing with the claims, but you know, they've gotten them off their back by paying them a large amount of money. So it's a lot of controversy about the early years of Facebook, and I talk at length in the book about that history. But again, I think a somewhat distorted view of that history is about to come out in this major movie, The Social Network.
And I guess they've changed the names, right, to protect the innocent?
They have not. That's one
of the
things to me about this movie is that it's, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Sean Parker are, you know, what we call legally public figures. So that it's fair game. There's a number of people who I would argue probably aren't really public figures, but the movie names by name, you know, I suppose it has the consent in some cases. But Eduardo Saverin is a character with that name. The Winklevoss twins, who are two of and Divya Narendra. There were three partners, Divya Narendra and the two twin brothers, who had developed a social network. They were trying to develop a social network at Harvard, and they hired Zuckerberg to work with them. They're in the movie by name. And I think it's an interesting thing, actually, and it's it's starting to become quite controversial, even before the movie is released, that they did make a movie about real people that's ostensibly a true story, but which is largely made up. I mean, the incidents in the movie are only partly based on reporting and an accurate representation of the past. There's a lot of stuff in there that's, I mean, it is a fictional movie, and yet it kind of portrays itself as the history of Facebook, and that's a pretty controversial thing, in my opinion.
Well, absolutely, and, you know, people will see this and think that's really what happened, and, you know, who knows what Zuckerberg will do.
Well, I don't think Zuckerberg will do a whole lot, actually. There was just an article in USA Today yesterday, in fact, about how, you know, Facebook is trying its hardest to ignore this movie, and I was quoted in that article saying, I don't think they're going to be able to succeed completely in ignoring it. But several people who know Zuckerberg in the article said he's really trying his best to just keep doing his job and not think about it. And I know I've discussed it with him, and he really doesn't want to think about the movie. He's really excited about Facebook. This is the thing I said before. He is so kind of like tickled in a weird way. He's like not even impressed at how big it is. He's just tickled that it's grown as fast as it has, and he thinks it can grow much bigger. The way he looks at it is, yes, we have 500 million users, but we live on a planet of, you know, 6.7 billion people, and he thinks a large percentage of those 6.7 billion people can benefit from using Facebook, and that's what he wants to spend his time thinking about. And he, you know, he considers the movie a distraction, and he's getting kind of used to being a public figure now. But he hasn't really been a very big celebrity, but the movie's going to make him into one. There's no doubt about that.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, David, the old sales model, the model of making money. You know, you manufacture a product, and you go out and sell it, and you go to, you know, and take it to people and things like that, like a car or a widget or whatever. Those models are gone now. I mean, here's a company that's a service company, and it's making billions of dollars. It's incredible.
Well, we're becoming a country of services, and Facebook is just one of many examples of that. And it's really, the world is moving in that direction, too. But, yeah, I mean, and when you have a service, particularly a service distributed on the Internet, and particularly a service distributed on the Internet that has all these viral qualities, it can grow faster than any car business or cheese business or any historically, you know, more conventional kind of business.
Without the huge capital investment.
Right. Well, that's one of the amazing things of the story that I tell in the book is that, you know, Zuckerberg really, I mentioned Savarin invested a small amount in the early days of the company. It didn't cost that much to get Facebook off the ground. You know, he used open source software. In the early months, even when it was growing, the most he was spending was like $400 a month on server stuff. And
amazing.
He didn't really spend, they didn't really have any serious investment until they were approaching 1 million users. They pretty much funded it themselves until they got close to 1 million users, and then they started getting some money from the outside. But they never took venture capital money in anywhere near the kind of quantities that most Internet startups have been forced to do. So that's one of the reasons Zuckerberg still owns, you know, 24%, which is a very large chunk. And the venture capitalists only own probably a total of less than 20% of the company.